now, Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So by now you've heard they've captured a guy, a U.S. citizen with suspected ties to Al-Qaeda, who allegedly planned to build and explode a radioactive dirty bomb. I hope you know by now that a dirty bomb, as has been, I think they've repeated this quite a bit today in the news, a dirty bomb is more effective in terms of its psychological impact, not so much the physical damage that it can do. A dirty bomb is any explosive, any, you could take a stick of dynamite and you could wrap it with radioactive material. That's basically what it is. It's not a nuclear bomb. It's not anything close to that. It's a bomb that explodes, and then however, whatever the breadth or width of the explosion, such as the contamination of the radioactivity. But the thing that's interesting to me about this is that the guy they arrested was an American citizen. He was born Jose Padilla, allegedly a gang member from Chicago, who went to prison in the 80s and early 90s and was, quote, recruited by Al-Qaeda, whatever that means. Maybe he converted to Islam and eventually made some connection in prison with guys that knew people that knew people that knew people. But he made his way to the Middle East, eventually to Pakistan, allegedly trained in the use of explosives, and was coming back to the United States, according to the FBI and other security people, to do a reconnaissance of places where they could plant, quote, this dirty bomb. And again, what's interesting to me is that he's an American, but more to the point, he's an American from a certain social strata. He was a member of a gang. So if you think about this, and I'm not saying that this is the case with all gang members, it's kind of funny. It's almost as if you want to believe that gangbangers, no matter how law-breaking, they're still patriotic. I may be in a gang, but I love my country. Yeah, it's like the wiretaps that they have of mafia members who sit around and talk about the crimes they're going to do, and then they'll just comment to each other about what's in the news and why America ought to go over and kick Iran's ass or something, you know? Kind of, that's a dichotomy of, I don't know, some an oxymoron. There's a split there. It's schizophrenic. It's a multi-personality disorder. It's something. I can't define it. I can't identify it. It's too early on a Monday for me. I realize that it's late in the day, but for me, it's still way too early. This is Monday. But I thought that it was interesting because it made, please don't misread what I'm about to say, but it made sense. I'm not saying the guy's right. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be incarcerated, and I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to have the whole book thrown at him, but I don't see anything illogical about his actions. If you grow up, you're born into a certain, I don't know, life, certain social strata, you join a gang, you're angry, you're pissed, you can't make your life work, you become a gang member, you want a sense of family, you want a sense of belonging. I don't doubt that the guy's much different than the other people that Al-Qaeda recruits. Disaffected people who got nothing. They got no society, no family. They have no membership in anything. They need to belong to something, and they need to react as well. So they have to belong to a bigger family and react against those that hurt them. And so isn't this guy kind of the logical extension or the logical end of the story for what a gang member might do? Or a person who's angry or disaffected or socially outcast or whatever other kind of psycho trip words you want to use. Isn't that what logically you would think somebody would wind up doing if they had the chance to tear down the very society that they are finding, you know, created so much pain for them? Now, I don't know what it is I'm really saying. I take that back. I do know what I'm saying, and I'm reluctant to say it. Does Al-Qaeda provide an outlet now for angry young Americans who don't have any affinity to the country, they don't feel any filial relationship to their fellow countrymen or women, and they're pissed, and they want to be wanted, and they want to belong, and they want to react? I mean, you know, how does, you know, the kid who's angry at the father that was never there, what does he wind up doing? He wants to rebel, and he eventually wants to make them wish that he was never born, make them see the error of their ways, go out and create all kinds of havoc because the old man beat them. Well, that's basically what gangs do. The big father country, America, didn't take care of them, or so they thought, and so they go out and they try to cause problems. And, ultimately they do want to belong, because what's the ultimate dream of any gang member? To make a whole lot of money, drive a big Cadillac, have a house on the hill. It's just no different than anybody else. So this is kind of an aberrant thing, but nonetheless, it's maybe it's his idea of getting the big house on the hill. Oh, wait, I forgot. The seven virgins after they die. So you either get the house on the hill and a big Cadillac, or if you're Al-Qaeda, you get the seven virgins and whatever else they promise you. They just say the seven virgins, don't they? I guess that's all you need, really. But what you don't know is they're members of your sex. So, you see, they didn't tell you that, did they? You're going to get seven virgins when you die, according to Al-Qaeda, but there's seven boys. The Janice is nodding her head like, some guys might be totally down with that. And you're right, especially those guys over there. So I guess when I read this, I thought, well, that's too bad. You know, and the word traitor came to mind and all of those glorious words. And I love my country, and I wouldn't sell my country out, I don't think. Well, if there was enough money. No, I'm serious, I wouldn't. I never would. But I'm pretty confident I never would. I mean, and I'm saying that because you know how the saying goes, everybody's for sale, everybody has their price. Is there an amount of money that you could be paid to sell your country out? I honestly don't believe that there is. But for some people, it's a perfect opportunity to get back at a system, at a place that just didn't make any sense for them. And I'm not saying this to get you to understand the guy. What I'm saying is that if we're making guys like this, if our country somehow is producing guys like this, we got to find a way to stop doing it. And whether we like it or not, it comes down to this, ultimately. It comes down to solving the problems of the lower criminal classes, solving the problems of crime, whatever may be the cause. If it's economics, if it's parenting, if it's biochemical, we got to look into it. Otherwise, if you made one of these guys, you could maybe make two. If you make two, maybe you can make four. And if there's four, maybe there's eight. And I don't know how many more people could be born into a country, our country, so pissed off at America and the way that it treated them that they've decided to join Al-Qaeda and run around with Bin and the gang. Bin and the gang. See what I'm saying? In other words, if whether you like it or not, you got to deal with the problem. You have to deal with whatever created the problem. And it ain't about putting him in jail. We got him in jail. He's in jail now. Well, I don't like these Al-Qaeda, these punk kids, these gangbangers. You don't like them? No. No, we should put him in jail. All right, we'll put him in jail. It wasn't just knocking over a liquor store, you understand. He wanted to blow up radioactive material. Well, I think the cure for him is just put him in jail and have it beaten out of him. Yeah, and then when he gets out, he'll be fine. Yeah, putting this kid in prison really helped, didn't it? He got out and he goes to Pakistan ready to blow up a dirty bomb. Dirty bomb sounds like something you'd call your teacher. I don't know. Did you have a dirty bomb that mommy changed a diaper? Me have dirty bomb. Well, isn't that too bad? Pampers gets rid of the dirty bomb. So there it is. Did I make any sense with that? It's real sociologic crap. It's what it is, but you can't deny it. You can't get around it. You can call it all kinds of liberal crap, but you cannot get around the fact that you have to deal with whatever societal problem created this guy. And putting him in jail obviously doesn't solve the problem because he was in jail. Oh, yeah, he was in jail all right. And then he went over and he did his dirty bomb thing, and now we got him in jail again. You see? This is perhaps a wake-up call that it's not all conservative politics. You know, it's not all just tough on crime, law and order, longer jail sentences, take the guns out of their hands, beat up on them, you know, stick them in the hole. It isn't all those solutions just do not apply across the board. Some of them some of these solutions have to do with getting in and rooting out the cause of the problem. One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, yada, yada, yada. All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Henry Show. Coming up, we're going to speak with a young military academy cadet and talk to him about the war on terror, the war on terriers. It's not a war on terror; it's a war on Scottish terriers. The war on terror and the possibility of fighting in a war that contains radiological weapons. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
We'll be right back. 1-800-636-1686. The Bill Henry Show is back.
All right, we're talking about this dirty bomb and the possibility of radiological weapons. We're joined now by a cadet from Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. And his name is R.C. Collins. You're a junior up there, R.C., and we wanted to ask you about the news today and how this might change your plans, or it changes the mindset of a military guy. I know you're very young going into this fight.
I think I speak for every fighting man and woman when I say we'll defend this country with our last breath. That's why I'm in the military academy. You know, to put my life on the line for America. I truly believe, and I know that I speak for every fighting man and woman, I'd tear out my own heart for the freedom of my fellow Americans. But I'm sure you understand, I'm not on a suicide mission. I'm trained, for instance, in hand-to-hand combat, shooting at people who shoot back, going into a cave, and if God wills it, coming out with bin Laden's head. That's why I signed up.
But?
Well, no buts, but I do. I got to tell you, this thing I heard today about a dirty bomb, what gives off radiation, that's a whole other level of combat that I was never told I'd face. And I'm, you know, that's...
You were never told that you'd face radioactive weapons?
No, not specifically that we would fight against radiation. I'm sure a lot of fighting men and women weren't told that either.
So you're saying what? So you're saying that you're unprepared or you're not trained?
Well, no, but I think we were misinformed that they withheld information so I would be interested in a career in the military.
See, if they had told you that it was possible that you guys would be fighting against radioactive weapons, you wouldn't have joined the military?
No, but I'm saying they didn't tell us that there'd be any dirty bomb or radiological stuff. That's the whole area. That's a whole other area of the service. That's the Air Force takes care of that. That's where those kinds of weapons are used.
Well, you want to give your lives for your country, and you want to fight for your country. Isn't that true? Because you said that at the outset.
Yeah, but you can't fight for your country when you're about ready to throw up, literally to throw up from fear.
When you heard the news today that there was a possibility of a dirty bomb being exploded in the United States, you reacted with fear?
I think I reacted the way every fighting man and woman would react. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I told you that the people that signed up for our military are already to get into some kind of nuclear war. We didn't sign up for that. See, and I think you need to understand, and now that they've busted this guy carrying a dirty bomb, it's scary. And I think you'll see a lot of people going AWOL.
It doesn't sound to me like you're being flexible the way a soldier needs to be flexible. You signed up to fight for your country. You sign up at all costs, right?
But they didn't tell us about this dirty bomb stuff. They didn't tell us about the radiation. What you... See, it sounds like you're calling me a coward.
Well, it sounds like you're scared.
Sir, I'm a fourth-year cadet, two-class ribbons for consecutive pull-ups, consecutive push-ups. I have two-class ribbons for the obstacle course, the endurance run.
No, but I'm sure that you're very accomplished in your military academy, R.C., and I'm going to give her phone number out here for a second, because you're telling me that you're afraid to fight in a war that might have radioactive weapons, but you're also saying that you don't want to fight in that war.
I'm saying that...
Hold on so I can give out her phone number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, and you also claim to be speaking for all fighting men and women.
Sir, you have to understand, I'm rock and roll from the gate. There is an old saying that my dad said that they had in the CBs, you feed me nails, I'll crap you bullets.
Okay, that's interesting.
And that's the way I feel, but this radiation thing...
You're scared of that?
No, I'm not scared. I'm not scared of anything. But it is a whole new level. I mean, the American people can't expect us to get cooked up, is all I'm saying.
So what are you? Are you torn? Are you having some kind of an identity crisis?
It's just that I don't want to get cooked up by radiation.
Well, the possibility of radioactive weapons have been real since the end of World War II, correct?
Yes, sir, that's true. But you got to remember, after the A-bomb was dropped on Tokyo, people were so scared, the guys were going AWOL. That's how Australia and a lot of those countries that are penal colonies got formed. So I'm proposing that because of this radiation bomb, the armed forces should at least institute a one-time policy where they'll let guys quit now, and no questions will be asked, and you won't be considered a coward. Okay?
And are you asking to get out?
I'm asking that I'd like to be able to consider that, but that my pension be intact, and that nobody can make fun of you, and I can assure you the more thoughtful among us will come home. But we still get an honorable discharge and a medal that says we backed out, but we backed out proudly.
R.C. Collins is a young cadet. You're planning a career in what branch of the military?
I eventually want to go into the U.S. Marine Corps, because they are rock and roll from the gate, and they're seriously, you know, very, very good.
Okay, you want to be a United States Marine. They're rock and roll from the gate, and yet you don't want to fight in any war.
Yeah, but you got to understand, there's nobody in the armed forces that wants to fight in the radiation war.
Who do you envision is going to fight if you don't?
Well, there's a lot of guys who are community college educated, for instance, or were raised by single mothers. See, one of the things is I'm going to take over my dad's business when I get out.
You're going to take over your dad's business? So, in other words...
No, but I'm going to, when I get out, because I know who my father is. So I'm taking over my dad's business. And a lot of guys don't know who their dad is, so they're not going to inherit any business, so they aren't really going to put anything back into the economy.
You're going to inherit your father's business, so you let some other poor kid do the job, is what you're saying.
No, well, no, but the ones that don't have as much to lose...
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Military Academy Cadet R.C. Collins about the war on terror and the possibility of fighting radiation, which you say most fighting people don't want to do. Here is Diane on the Phil Henry Show. Diane, go ahead.
Hey, Cadet Collins.
Yes,
a little bit of my background. I spent 10 years in the Marine Corps,
yes,
and
ma'am.
When I signed up for the Marine Corps, there was a lot of things they didn't tell me, but the thing they did tell me is that I was fighting for my country, and at no cost was there anything that I would not give for my country. I don't. When I heard the news today when I heard the news today of, you know, a dirty bomb, yes, you know, that feared me, but if I was still in the Marines, you know what?
Well, that's
it doesn't
easy to
matter.
Say. That's easy to say because you're not in the Marines anymore. The other thing that needs to be said here, as a woman, you wouldn't be sent into combat.
That's not true,
okay,
because now...
Well, that's a whole different thing.
That's not true.
See?
I was a search and rescue swimmer. I plucked pilots out of the water,
Well, that's not the same thing as me going into a cave that's nuclear reactive.
That doesn't matter.
See?
I would...
See what I'm saying?
No, because pull-ups, push-ups don't matter... They don't matter.
No,
I don't care how strong you are. I run marathons. That part doesn't matter.
I got two class ribbons for consecutive pull-ups and two class ribbons for the obstacle course and the endurance course.
It's irrelevant.
Well, you swimming around is one thing, but I go into a nuclear reactor cave, I'm cooked up.
You're cooked up?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Diane, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Military Academy Cadet R.C. Collins, who's afraid of going into war against nuclear radioactive weapons, as he calls them. In fact, he says most fighting people don't want to. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. A dirty bomb, a possibility of a dirty bomb, a plot to blow one up, perhaps, uncovered today. We're speaking to a cadet from a military academy in Altadena, California. His name's R.C. Collins, who says he'd die for his country, he'd fight for his country, but he didn't sign up to fight in a war that involves radiation, or as you put it, no radioactivity.
Well, I mean, I don't have the best... grammar in the world.
Yeah, but you're saying that you ought to be allowed to discharge yourself from the military and let poor kids fight in it.
No, I didn't say poor kids.
Well, you did say kids from single-parent families should deal with the dirty bomb war, not you.
Well, because I have a future. I'm going to take over my dad's business someday. A lot of those kids aren't going to take over anything other than a car payment or something. So, but for me...
You got a future so you don't die.
I think you're being unfair, Mr. Henry. I don't want to be cooked, and they don't want to be cooked either in a radiation experiment. But look what happened to Tokyo.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Brian. And Brian, I understand you're a sea cadet?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go right ahead. You're on with R.C. Collins.
Yes, sir. Hello?
Yes, sir. This is R.C.
Yes, sir. I really think that you...
Are you a cadet?
I'm a U.S. Naval Sea Cadet.
I'm at Bradley Military Academy. I'm going to go to the Marines.
Well... I really think that you're being a coward, and
Wait a second. I'm in the academy to train to be an officer, not a grunt.
Go ahead, Brian. Stand up to him, man.
Well, yes, what do you mean, stand up to me?
Because I think you're a little intimidating. Go ahead, Brian. Tell him what you think.
You have to go to your school, but I had to pay to go to... What the sea cadets.
You did?
Yes, sir.
From what, like a paper route job you had?
No, I'm going to boot camp in 8 days.
Do you want to go?
Stuart, Georgia.
Do you want to go into a radiation war?
I will if I have to.
Well, don't you know what happens in radiation?
Yes, but if you're right with God, you'll be with him.
Yeah, but it don't necessarily kill you. You get mutated and stuff.
Oh, that's out of the science fiction movies.
But it's true. It's true. Hey, Brian.
Yes?
You know what I heard one time about the radioactivity?
Yes?
Your nuts fall off.
Okay.
Well?
What?
Well, if you're that scared of it, you should join the Air Force.
So that he could yell off, be in a fighter jet or something, Brian?
Are you calling Air Force guys wuss?
Well.
Hey, Brian.
Yes?
There's a reason you're a sea cadet. The Navy's the easiest place of them all.
It's not as easy as what you're doing because you get to quit.
You know, I don't mean anything by this, but it sounds like you're, like, taking a crap right now or something.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, he's not saying stuff.
He's nervous. Aren't you nervous?
Yes, sir.
And you're nervous, too, aren't you, Brian?
A little. This is my first time ever calling.
And you're nervous, too, R.C.?
Yes, sir. This is my first time, too.
All right. So you're both a little nervous, and I understand that. But you're having a nice conversation, and you don't have to say things like, are you taking a crap right now?
I'm sorry, Brian. Well, so, aren't you afraid of your nuts falling off?
Will you forget that?
Well... In the Navy, what do you do to combat radiation? You can get in a submarine, but what would that do?
We put on nuclear suits.
Oh, yeah?
Well, we may not be saved from that, but at least we're fighting for a good cause to save the American people.
No, that's the point.
Yeah, see, now Brian knows what he's up against. He knows that he's planning a career in the military, and that's what he's up against, and God willing, it doesn't have to happen, but if it does, he will bravely go into the breach. Isn't that right, Brian?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean, into the breach?
Into the battle.
Ain't that a pair of pants?
What?
Breaches.
No, it's not a pair of pants. You go into...
Like he wants to go into a pair of pants.
Brian.
Yes, sir.
You don't want to bravely go into a pair of pants, do you? You bravely want to go into the battle, right?
Yes, sir.
There, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, Brian, good, pal. And good luck at your boot camp that you're going to start this summer.
Thank you.
Brian.
Yes?
Be careful for the radioactivity.
Okay.
All right, pal.
Okay,
good
bye.
Good job. You did a great job, pal. What are you trying to do?
He said he's in the Navy. They don't have to face no radiation.
Everybody does if there's radiation. especially nuclear submarines. Nuclear, get it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Sandy, you're on the... Wait a minute, what happened to Sandy? Sandy, you're you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi. First of all, I would like to say to Brian that was just on, he's definitely going to make it as one of our country's protectors. And for Cadet Collins, I certainly have a lot to say to him.
Excuse me, what do you know about it, ma'am?
Excuse me, I have two sons. I have one son that was in the Marines.
So? You popped out two sons, whatever.
Hey, have some respect for your elders.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you should be sorry because you will never, ever make it to the Marines.
I beg your pardon.
You will never, ever. They will never accept someone like you that can get on a TV or radio show and say what you say.
Excuse me, ma'am. This is radio.
That's what I meant, radio.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because you have me so upset.
You know, you're being a little bit of a smartass here, R.C. I want you to shut up and listen to the lady.
Yes, sir.
I just have to say that my husband died, even though I'm a single mother now. My husband died. But my sons know who their father are, who their father is.
Who their fathers are?
Yes, they are. They do.
They
one father.
Oh,
one
okay.
Father.
You indicated there were two, ma'am.
Well, because you have me so upset, I could probably say anything. First of all,
You haven't been drinking, ma'am, have you?
No,
I said
sir.
Some respect for your elders.
I do not drink, never did, never will. I am just as sober as anything.
Yes, ma'am.
And what I'm calling to say is I hope that your father and mother are not listening to you.
Ma'am, my father and I rarely have contact.
Well, then I feel sorry for your whole family.
Yes, ma'am.
I cannot believe that you say that because you think you know who your father is or you do know who your father is and you have a business to run or you can take over his business, that doesn't mean that someone else that does not have a business per se to take over for their father because they've passed away.
Huh?
You heard what I just said.
No, I didn't, ma'am. I didn't understand.
You think.
She said. Go ahead, Sandy. I don't want to say it for you.
Okay.
What did she say?
I'm saying, okay,
right.
Because your father has a business.
Right.
And you will automatically take over for him.
Who?
You
your
automatically
father.
Over.
You're going to automatically take over for your father. You said that your dad had a business.
For.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. Did you say your father has a business?
No, you. Your father.
What business is your father in?
Your father, not her father.
Yes, sir.
You're saying that your father is a business. You want to get out of the service, and you don't want to fight for our country.
Yes, ma'am.
Because you're going to take over for your father's business.
Well,
does
sure,
that
ma'am.
Make you,
well,
pardon
my
me?
My father has three car washes in the San Fernando Valley on account I'm going to inherit them someday.
Well, you're just a lucky little man, aren't you?
Well, you can't expect me to go and get radioactive when I have the businesses to inherit.
But do you expect someone's son, that he does know his father and has passed away, do you think you're any better than my son is or anybody else's single parent son out there that they should go and you shouldn't?
Well, kids that come from single parent mothers are generally not going to be, they'll be breaking the law. And so...
Breaking the law? What are you talking about, breaking the law?
Most kids that only have a mother, they go on to become criminals.
I don't believe you said that.
Well, sure, ma'am. Everybody knows.
My son has a father. He knows who he is, but he is dead. Do you understand?
Who's dead? Your son?
My son's father.
Your father's dead?
Of course your father's dead. My son's father is dead. But my sons know who their father is.
Because
he hasn't got a business to take over doesn't mean he's not going to fight for his country.
Well, ma'am, I think the question is, do you know who your son's father is?
I certainly do.
Once again, you're being a smartass.
No, sir, I'm not. I'm trying to figure out what the lady's saying.
See, that's what I mean.
So, your son's father...
Yes.
...died.
Yes.
And you don't know who he is.
What are you talking about? I was married. I was married. I'm still married.
Is your father's son dead?
Oh, brother. You know.
All right, listen, smartass.
You know, Phil. You know he.
Yeah,
he,
no,
he
is...
shouldn't even be even.
Ma'am, I'm simply trying to say I'm scared of being radioactive. What's wrong with that?
That's okay, but that's your opinion. But you should not say to people like right now. I'm still married.
That single parent boys turn out to be criminals.
That's ridiculous.
What? Well, ma'am, it's proven that kids that are raised only by their mom, they go into gangs.
No, it's not.
Excuse me, my son is 36 years old now, but his father died 8 years ago. And he's just, he is more of a man.
Well, now he's going to join a gang now.
He all never right. has. He is the most respected person in his community.
Well, ma'am,
and always has been.
Ma'am, I suffered from testicular cancer when I was 11, and I had to have one of my testicles removed.
And
now I only got one nut left, and if that one gets radioactive, what will that do?
That will certainly help not have another person like you brought into this world.
The guy caught with a dirty bomb was in a gang, too.
That's got nothing to do with this lady's son or anybody else that was raised by a single
mother parent.
Single mother now.
Single
mother
now,
single mother now,
yeah.
Because my husband died.
Single parent mother.
Single parent mother.
Right.
Or is it single mother?
I don't know what it is, man, but you know what I'm talking about. Sandy, I'm sorry for yelling. I appreciate your call.
You have to yell because this man,
he's
being stupid.
I'm not even
saying a man. This person does not understand. He shouldn't even be in our armed forces to even think about protecting any of us.
Well, ma'am,
I feel unsafe with you in there. That's for sure.
I'll go to the wall to protect you in this country unless it's radioactive. Then I do think twice about it.
Okay, Phil. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. On account of you only have one ball.
Right.
1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins is a, this is a very disturbing conversation with a young man who is in a military academy. He wants to fight for this country, but nobody told him that he'd be fighting against radiological or radioactive weapons. And today's dirty bomb story has got him shook up. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. one 800 449 8686. Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back. We're with R.C. Collins, a cadet from the Bradley Military Academy. Just kind of getting the feelings and the thoughts of young people in the military. Although you are a cadet, I doubt very seriously, Mr. Collins, if you're going to be called upon to fight anytime soon for our country.
Well, God willing, I'll be called on to fight soon.
Not if there's radiation, because you've also said you don't want to fight in a war involving radioactive weapons, and nobody told you that you'd have to do that.
Well, I think there should be some truth in advertising when they say, come on into the military, and oh yeah, you could get infected with the radiation on account I only have one testicle.
I don't know how you're going to get into the military with one testicle. Let me talk to Ed. Ed, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm still here.
Yes, Ed, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Well, I this is the first time I ever talked on a talk show, but I couldn't keep quiet and
Me
listen
too.
To this brat.
Me too.
He is one of the most despicable, depraved cowards I've ever heard.
Wait a second. I'm not a coward. I'll fight for my country. I just don't want to lose the only ball I got to a radiation war.
Well, you're a joke.
Oh, yeah?
You are absolutely... I hate to talk to you, but you know, I had an uncle. Initials as you.
Was you ever in a war?
No, I was not. But let me tell you about my uncle. His name was Richard Collins. Same initials as yours.
Yeah?
And I hope to God that you're no relative of mine.
Does Commander Wireman ring a bell? He's our general. Did you know him?
No.
Hold on for a minute. Commander Wireman?
Yes, this is General Wireman. Who am I speaking with?
Edgar Goodell.
Edgar, how are you? I'm General Harvey Wireman at the Bradley Military Academy.
I'm fine.
I train young men to hopefully someday, defend our country. And I understand you're taking exception to one of our fine young cadets. He's a little weird. There's no doubt about that. But we like to make them psychos, so they're ready to rock and roll.
I'm rock and roll from the gate.
Well, I have to take exception. You're saying that he's a fine young man because he is a despicable, depraved coward.
What did he say, sir? What did he say?
Why, everything he opens his mouth shows that he...
For instance, tell me one thing. I didn't hear anything. What did he say?
Look, the way he talks, I don't use that kind of language.
Well, what kind of language? What did you say?
Well, he was talking about...
You're a grown man, and you're sticking up for this?
No, sir. I want to find out what this kid did in case I have to discipline him. Now, you tell me what he said.
Look, he isn't worth bothering with.
I'll tell you what he said. He said that he wouldn't fight for this country if it was a radiation war.
That's right.
You did what?
Well, I was only kidding.
Little bastard. I just slugged him. You ever do that again, I'll kick your ass through the wall. Okay, Ed?
Yes?
I just slapped him.
You slapped the kid?
Yeah, you better believe it. He's not going to fight for this country.
I'm not going to lose my one nut to the... Oh!
Shut up. Okay?
Hey, listen, is that a joke?
Who's a joke?
This Collins.
Oh, yeah, he's a total joke. I thought he was a good, strong, strapping young man. Now I find out he doesn't want to fight for his country. Get out of here.
You agree with me, then?
Oh, yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
But you can't be beating him up.
I'll do anything I want. He's in a military academy. Little turd.
Well, I'd throw him out. We don't want him. We don't want him in the army.
Cadet Collins, you'll lose your one nut for me or know the reason why.
It's the only one I got out!
That's right.
Big deal.
All right, Ed. Hey, Ed.
Yes.
You have both of yours, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right, boy.
Well, General Wireman...
And Mr. Hendry, I'd thank you to butt out of my business.
All right, fine.
You know, I'll tell you something, though, Ed, and this is kind of funny. I was born with a birth defect. Ed?
Yes?
I have three testicles, and it's... kept me out of the service. So I started this military academy.
In other words, you don't have any military experience?
No, I don't.
Neither do I.
Well, then how is it you're a general?
I'm not a general.
Yeah, I thought you said you're a general.
No, no, no.
Oh, all right.
I said that I had an uncle with initials.
Who had three testicles, right? I forgot what you said. Was your name General Ed? Was that it?
No.
It wasn't General Ed?
No, it was not.
I took General Ed.
You're starting to sound almost as bad as this Collin jerk.
Mister, I love my country, and I'll give all three of my testicles.
All right. By the way, the voices of Harvey Wireman and R.C. Collins were performed by me, Phil Hendry. The people that called in, they thought they were real guys. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
It's an interesting organization. You know, so many children missing, parents can't find them. It's been going on for decades, if not longer. Milk cartons, ID posters, all kinds of things, trying to find children. Where are they? We don't know. And as you know, there's been a long-standing proposal to get some kind of a uniform identification or tracking system for children so that we know where they are, or at least we know who they are when we see them. There's an organization out of San Diego called KIDS. That's Kids Identified Safely. It has been founded and is run by Bob Green. And Mr. Green, I understand you lost your son some 10 years ago. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. Phil, my boy was taken by my ex-wife and through a series of court battles, he's not been returned to me, and that's one of the ways that children are removed from their home. Many kids are taken by a spouse. So I started Kids Identified Safely so we could begin the process of a uniform identification system for children so that when they are lost, we can identify these kids and return them home safely.
Now, there's been all kinds of proposals. I know that your organization has a system that you say is foolproof, and I mentioned milk cartons.
Well, milk cartons with the pictures of children on the side have been a hit and miss at best. The fingerprinting system that many people wanted to go to, it tends to get lost in a huge database. Even the microchip that many people have proposed might be unhealthy insofar as it introduces something foreign into the body because it can move around, get into the system, and possibly be injurious. Our idea comes from literally the days of our grandparents and our great-grandparents. We're so quick to settle for the new technological solutions when the answer is right in front of us, and we think it's the safest and most effective way to identify our kids.
Now, you're proposing branding children, is that right?
Yes, we are. First of all...
I mean, when you say this comes from the days of our grandparents and our great-grandparents, are you talking about branding kids the way we used to brand cattle?
First of all, hold on for a minute. Branding is not as painful as all the movies make it out to be. It's done very quickly.
Do you use any kind of... Are you talking about taking a hot instrument and searing a brand into a child's flesh?
I wouldn't be that melodramatic, Mr. Hendry. Yes, we're talking about marking the flesh with a series of very superficial burns. We do use an instrument that is disinfected. It does burn into the arm, but it is a relatively easy procedure.
Well, is it painful?
It is all of 3 seconds, and the child, it's about as painful as an average shot. If children don't like to get shots, maybe they don't want to get a brand, but... It's not painful to any great degree.
Do you use a local anesthetic, anything like that?
Well, with a local, that's a shot. Most kids don't want to have a shot. They want to get it over with. So by the time we get the child under the neck clamp, it's over with. And the other thing is the brand resembles a tattoo, which some kids think looks very hip and looks very, it's the talk of all their friends. So we're proposing this because it is safe, it is inexpensive.
How long does it take to brand a human being's flesh?
Again, I would resist the melodrama. We're not talking about them being held down like cattle.
Well, you just mentioned a neck clamp.
I'm sorry, sir?
You just mentioned a neck clamp.
Well, you need to hold the child down because they are children and they get nervous, yes.
So you clamp a child down, you clamp them by the neck?
We clamp them by the neck and the legs. I hope I'm answering your questions. I'm trying to get to my point here.
Where do you brand them?
Well, you put it on the wrist, and let me tell you why we do that. And don't get me wrong, because there is absolutely nothing about the Nazis that I like. But they did have about as good an idea as you could about the wrist area, because the placement's easy to read.
Because Nazis tattooed?
That's my understanding. And there's nothing about them I like, and please don't even get me started on Nazis, because I don't like them, what they did. But they did have a good idea on the wrist. Yeah, they tattooed a lot of these... inmates, and so we propose putting a brand on the wrist.
All right, we're talking with Robert Green. If you can hold on for a second, Mr. Green.
Certainly.
Robert Green is with Kids. Kids ID'd Safely, KIDS out of San Diego. They propose that the safest, most effective way of identifying children is by a brand, just like the kind you would give cattle. And it's done on the wrist. He says it's relatively painless. You can see right there on the arm. What kind of a brand are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about a brand that you can design your own, and we do that. Or you can come in. We'll design one for you, whichever you'd like.
I mean, my name is Hendry, so what, I put a big H on a kid's arm?
Whatever you'd like. We put it into a database, make sure that it's not duplicated.
Okay, I'm very worried about the tattooing of children and the pain that they would go through, and that is ultimately my concern. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Can you address that?
Well, Mr. Henry, at birth, you circumcise the child at birth, and he don't remember it. You tattoo a child, they're not going to remember it because they're so young, and they don't have the memory part of their brain all developed out.
Are you saying, in other words, that you're tattooing these children as infants?
Well, absolutely, because, again, when were you circumcised?
That's really none of your business.
Okay. I was circumcised. Let me just say, I hope you're circumcised. I was circumcised when I was an infant, and I have no memory of it. And I can tell you that the tattooing is done on the infant as well, and they will have no memory of it. Infants don't remember pain, so whether you circumcise them or tattoo them, they're not going to remember it.
Well, I'm concerned about the pain that even an infant is going to put input somehow mentally. Okay.
Well, let me tell you what's worse. For a child to realize that their parents don't love them enough to have them branded. For a child to go to school and see other kids branded and they're not. It's like being sent to school without lunch. And what about those parents that have kids missing? You want to take the chance? This is a great opportunity to utilize the technology that we have right now and not wait for some futuristic solution.
So we're branding kids. You guys do it in a clinic or what?
Well, no, we don't. That's not necessary, but we do make it as relaxed and as fun as possible for the kids.
All right, hold on for a minute here. We're talking with Robert Green. He's with the kids. Kids ID'd safely, and they brand kids at birth so that they don't feel it. And he uses circumcision as an example of another painful procedure that children don't feel because they're so very, very young. Branding, as opposed to putting a microchip, as opposed to fingerprinting, you brand the child on the wrist. And this is done with some kind of a hot... Did you talk to this guy, Janice? It's done with a hot instrument, just like a steer. 1-800-449-8686 is our number here as we talk to Robert Green. 1-800-449-8686 if you have any questions or comments. And the other thing is that he claims they do it in a sterilized atmosphere, although it's not in a clinic. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're with Robert Green with kids. Kids ID'd safely, a controversial method in which children are branded. Branded the way steers were branded at one time in the Old West. And I can hear you. Mr. Green, can you tell me where you are right now?
We're at one of our branding clinics, Bill, and I wanted to say to you that we do make it fun for the kids because it's kind of an Old West rodeo atmosphere. And so what we do is line the kids up, and most of them are infants, and we do that in a clinic, but the kids who haven't been branded, because we have to catch up, so many children are not safe, Mr. Hendry, and so many children cannot be identified. We've set up this Wild West rodeo scene, and let me just put this down can you hear that?
What was that?
That was a hot branding iron going into the water. I'll do it again. See? And so what that does is it makes it fun for the kids and...
makes it fun for the kids? So you got how old are the kids?
Some of them are 9 or 10 years of age because they're a little older, but we do try to relax them with the Wild West atmosphere here like a farm or a ranch or whatever you want to call it.
All right, let me go to a phone call first, and then I have a question for you. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You brand the wrist because that's the most effective place to identify a kid.
Yes, sir.
And because, the question I want to ask you is, like this poor little girl in Utah, so what if she's got a brand?
Well, if she has a brand and the guy lets her go and she's walking down the road, then they see that she's got a brand, and then the parents come and say, that's our brand and that's our kid.
All right, let me go here to Amy. Amy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Mr. Green, you're an idiot. I think this branding is very inhumane. I don't believe in mutilation of any kind.
We're
and I probably think
children,
that you have Hitler's posters in your bedroom.
We're trying to save
children.
Because
you protest too much about Nazism.
No, I just said that they had a good idea with that wrist tattoo. That's all. I think that's
I think it's very inhumane and unusual treatment.
Well, how do we protect our kids?
It's got to be a better way than that, because you're wrong that they don't remember stuff. They do remember stuff. Talk to any psychiatrist. Men don't remember their circumcisions.
Kids don't remember being circumcised.
Yes, they do. How do you know they don't?
I don't remember being circumcised. And I was
I bet if you go to psychoanalysis, you will.
Well, guess what? I guess I don't need to do that. So why would I want to bring that pain up?
They just say that about babies, because babies can't express it. But they do remember.
No, they don't, because I don't remember. Were you ever circumcised? No, I was, and I don't remember.
Are you playing with that hot poker?
I'm getting it ready.
Oh, my God.
Ma'am,
I just think you're sick. I'm sorry. I think you're very sick.
There's a lot of
and I can't
kids.
Believe any parents would do that.
There's a lot of missing kids out there, and we're trying. If they have a brand, we know who they belong to. Okay?
I'm sorry. I just totally disagree with this.
Do you have
sorry.
Baby?
Yes, I do, and I would never do that. I wouldn't even circumcise my children,
my sons. You wouldn't brand them?
No, never. I don't believe in mutilation of any kind.
Then how do you know it's your kid? I mean, you'd know it's your kid, but how would they know it's yours? If the kid shows up...
There's got to be a better way than that. I'm sorry. I don't believe in that. I can't stand that sound. Stop doing that.
Come on, I'm getting it ready so we can brand some kids.
Oh, my God. You know what? Are you
knocking off
joke?
With the branding iron, okay?
It sounds like a joke to me.
You think missing kids are a joke?
No, I think that you're a joke. I think that you're a joke.
You think the little girl in Utah is a joke?
No, I don't, but I think you're a joke making that sound. I think you're doing this for effect.
No, ma'am. What I'm
I don't think you're doing this for any reason other than that.
The parents got a matching brand.
You're branding the parents.
Oh, my God. I don't believe this.
Mr. Johnson? Here he is. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you've got to be kidding. This has got to
be
some kind of sick joke.
Are you kidding
me? Some sick person calling your show. I don't believe this.
Is this some kind of a joke, Mr. Green? I want a yes or a no.
I think it's a joke.
No, sir. We are trying to protect... You know how many kids have gone missing the last month, and you people think it's a joke?
No, I think you're a joke.
Am I? Look at this. What is your name, sir?
My name is Ronald Jeffries.
Ronald Jeffries, here we go.
I don't believe this. I don't believe that he's
doing. So you're branding parents?
Yeah. Okay, Ronald, see you later.
Son of a bitch.
All right, your name, sir?
Yeah, my name is Bill Emmer.
And Mr. Emmer, where are you from?
I'm from Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida, here we go.
I don't believe this is happening, no. Jesus. He's lying. He's lying.
Jesus
he's lying.
Jesus Christ, man!
He's lying.
Are you
he's lying?
I'm lying, huh? Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead. Keep all the kidnapped kids you got in your cellar.
Yeah, I got kidnapped kids in my cell.
Well,
sounds like you get. It sounds like you go
kids.
To the dentist and you don't get Novocaine because
like
you like people to be in pain.
It sounds to me like you like the idea of kids going missing. That you don't.
No,
want kids
I don't. I don't like pain either.
You don't like pain? Well, this is the way to save a kid from being lost.
I don't think so. I think
right
he's
now.
Sick.
How you doing,
I think
honey?
He's sick.
I'm fine.
Oh my God! I can't stand that noise. I gotta hang up. I can't stand it. I'm sorry.
Did you just brand a kid?
Yes, I did.
I don't believe it. I think it's just a sick joke.
Well, you know something, baby? If you think it's a sick joke, then maybe you think it's funny that kids die.
Oh, yeah, I think it's really funny. I think you're really funny, too, yeah.
Ow!
What are you doing, man?
We're going through the branding iron now.
I'm sorry.
All right, hold on for a minute. Did everybody get it? Amy, can I ask you a question? Amy?
What?
If it would save your child's life, would you let me brand you?
No.
Oh, so if you'd let you, then you'd let your kid die?
No, I wouldn't let him die, but I would find another reasonable alternative. It doesn't mean he's going to die just because you won't brand him.
Can I ask you a question?
That doesn't mean that he's going to die.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask me anything you want.
If you let me brand your ass, I won't make any more cow jokes.
They're kidding. I'm telling you, this is a sick person calling
that
up.
That is pretty
you.
Insulting,
they're putting
okay?
you on.
No, I'm
they're
not
putting you on.
Oh, yeah? Listen to this.
He's putting you on. He's putting you on. This is
you know,
not true what's
yeah,
happening.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
On.
That's right. She's right, Mr. Andrew. I think it's really funny that kids are missing, and I thought I'd call up and make a joke out of it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, thanks
now, this
a lot,
is
Amy.
A put-on, I'm telling
yeah.
you. It's a put-on.
Is this a put-on, Mr. Green? Yes or no?
I'm telling you, it's a put-on.
No.
And you swear on a stack of Bibles?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I
don't
swear
believe
on the eyes of my children. Look at this. Here comes a group of six-year-olds.
He probably doesn't have any. God wouldn't let someone like you reproduce. Now,
there
this is
go.
A put-on. I'm telling you, he's pulling your leg here. Or whatever else you could get hold of.
Pretty funny.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Green, if I could. Okay?
Yeah.
What's up with that Rawhide music?
What's the matter with this? Ow! Wow!
You're a sick animal. Turn that off!
Sorry, I just was trying to set the mood.
1-800-449-8686. Mr. Robert Green with Keeping Kids Safe. Or no, Keeping Kids Identified Safely, an organization that proposes we brand children. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Well, we want to try something on the program. I hope you don't mind. Bud is there, and he's going to hook it up to the equipment.
What is this, Bud?
This is called a show monitor.
It's a show monitor, and what it does is it registers whether you're interesting or whether you're being boring.
I'm going to hook up right now.
Whether I'm interesting or whether I'm boring.
Yeah. Bud, just for example, the conversation I'm getting. You got it right there, Bud?
All right, I'm going to throw the switch right now. Here you go.
All right, now that means that right now your program is interesting and you know, is doing some things that people like, okay?
Right. So if it's not interesting and I'll throw the switch, you'll hear this.
In other words, my show's dead.
Right. It's going to be dead if you do anything that's boring.
So I want to know, well, why is it doing that?
I don't know. Adjust it, bud.
Okay, it's better now.
Yeah. So whatever you're going to do here in this last segment of the hour, make sure it's interesting, and it'll register.
Okay. I wanted to start talking this hour. It's very annoying, though, isn't it?
No, it's all right. We'll lower it down, bud.
All right.
Okay, so I'll be listening.
All right, David. So, bud, in other words, you're going to be watching this show monitor to make sure that... What's happening?
You're boring. See, you have to say something people are interested in.
I'm asking the question. If you have this show monitor hooked... What is that supposed to mean?
It's dull. Just do something. Anything. Just start... See, now it's back up to speed. Yeah, see, the show died again. You got it. The goal, Phil, is to keep the show monitor going, okay? See, like right now. Keep it going. Say interesting things.
All right. What I... Jesus H.
Come on, will you? There. Go.
All right, I'd like to talk this hour about the Michael Skakel trial. Michael Skakel, as you know, was a Kennedy, and years ago, he was...
Oh, Jesus. Come on, pick it up. Go, 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 go.
Michael Skakel was a Kennedy, and he was accused of murdering people. And then...
Why is it doing that? Because it's dull. You gotta do something interesting.
I'm talking about the Michael Skakel trial, and he was convicted of murdering a next-door neighbor, and I feel that they didn't have enough evidence. Now, let's look at the evidence in this case. You see, there was a golf club shaft, and there was...
Phil, the goal is to make it interesting.
What's going on? What's going on?
I can't keep the show monitor going, because I guess I'm... it's going...
Every time you open your mouth, you're dull.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
So I was rooting for Mike Tyson the other night, and, you know, I believe in giving a guy another chance. I get to a point in my life where I see people piling on certain individuals, and then suddenly I become their fan. They become enough of an underdog where Phil Hendry weighs in, and now he's rooting for them. And that's what I did Saturday night. I found myself in a room full of people at another person's home. And it was a beautiful home, and they had a big widescreen TV, and we were drinking Heinekens, and we were eating wonderful finger foods, mushrooms with a little escargot, chips, dip, the chopped up little vegetables with a blue cheese dressing, the cauliflower and the broccolis, and those things. I'm sure you've had those finger foods, haven't you? You ever been to a party, an appetizer party, and somebody shows up with the cheese squares with the toothpick in it? You know, all of those things. And we sat down to watch the fight, and suddenly I found myself pulling for Mike Tyson. See, in some people's minds, the guy's the lowest piece of garbage that ever walked. In my mind, he's a man that's made tons of mistakes, has been highly emotional, but truly the only person he's ever really hurt has been himself. And he's an American. And I guess I've been really 9/11'd. I mean, I've been Al-Qaeda-tized or something, because anything American I'm in favor of, and he's going up against this Brit, Lennox Lewis. So, put it all together, there I am, rooting for Mike Tyson. Only guy in a room doing it, too. Only guy in a room. And you should have seen me make a complete jackass out of myself. Here are the following things that I said during the course of the fight. Number one, One thing's for sure, this fight won't end in a knockout. Number two, Tyson, all he has to do is get inside that reach and land one blow. Number three, Tyson's not afraid of anybody. Number four, this guy Lennox Lewis looks kind of stupid. Number five, oh, I don't know, some other crap, I forget. There was at least four dumb things I said, and I'm saying them at the top of my lungs, naturally. And I'm looking at people, and people are sort of nodding at me in a very sympathetic way, like, yeah, that's real great. Hey, one thing's for sure, this fight's not going to end in a knockout, is it? And there's a guy over there, Wow, who invited him? God. And I'm pumping my fist in the air. Come on, Mike! Come on! And my wife is there, and Maria, she kind of got the underdog bug, too, so she's starting to pull for Tyson. So there's just the two of us all by ourselves screaming for Tyson while everybody is just very quietly looking at Lennox Lewis going about his business. If you didn't watch this fight, you're smarter than me. But if you didn't watch the fight, I'm really just not talking so much about a fight as I am about a semi-annual sporting event that we all know and love in America as the big event. It's whether it's a Super Bowl or whether it's a... Generally, it's a Super Bowl or a seventh game of an NBA final or the big heavyweight fight. I can't tell you the number of parties that I've been to where somebody's got the big fight on. I went and saw the Tyson-Evander Holyfield ear-biting fight, and I went to somebody else's house, and I think I saw a Tyson-Frank Bruno fight, and I went to somebody else's house, and another one. And then this last weekend, I saw another fight. And 90% of the people there don't know anything about boxing. And they're just there because they want to see somebody get their ass kicked. Or they want to see it go... I don't know what they want to see. And here's another thing that bothers me a little bit. People say the following. The only reason why anybody goes to a NASCAR race is to see somebody crash. Is there something wrong with that? The only reason why anybody watches a prize fight is to see a man get his brains beat out. Yeah, is there something wrong with that? Seriously, is there something wrong with that? I'd like to know if there's something wrong with that, because I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That is precisely what we want to see. That is precisely why boxing is staged. Don't tell me it's to see a guy show a real good display of pugilist style and the pugilistic art. Because if that were the case, then the professionals would be wearing headgear the same as the amateurs. And if people don't go to the auto races to see someone get into a wreck, then why is it on every highlight reel of any race that I've ever seen, I see cars doing the end over end or the side over side? And these are networks, by the way, that are sanctioned, that have purchased the rights to cover these events from NASCAR or from the sanctioning heavyweight fight body, whatever that may be. So people watch races to see wrecks, and there truly is nothing wrong with that. And people watch prize fights to see somebody get beat up, and there's nothing wrong with that either. You say that it kind of leaks some of my humanity out of me, because I want to see another human being get brutalized. No, I just want to see one guy win a fight. You say that it somehow demeans me because I watch the race and I watch and enjoy cars flipping end over end. It actually gives me a better appreciation for the speed and the danger of what these guys are up against. Otherwise, how could I have any appreciation for any danger that these people are involved in? If I'm looking at a Richard Petty or down through the years a David Pearson or now, of course, a Jeff Gordon going at breakneck speed around a track, how do I know how unsafe that is unless some guy buys it out there? Am I saying these things to be controversial? Am I saying these things to strike fear or to strike disgust in people's, heads, minds, bodies, the entire corpulence of you? Maybe. Anyway, it was one hell of a fight, I guess. My guy got his ass kicked, and he was laying there with his gloves over his face. Let me tell you one of the reasons why I watch pole vaulting. Do you think it's to see a guy clear the bar? No. I want to see him get impaled on the pole. You're telling me you watch pole vaulting to see the guy go over the pole? To go over the thing? I watch it just in case the guy comes down right through the pole. That's, to me, I get a better appreciation of the sport. Why do I watch ice hockey? I don't care. I don't even know the rules of ice hockey. I don't know how does it work? I don't know how it works. I just wait to see some guy take a skate to the teeth. All those teeth just laying out there on the ice. That's me. That's what I like. I work hard. And you want to know why I watch women's bowling? Well, I can't tell you because I don't know why I watch women's bowling. But I do. In its own way, it's violent. In its own way, it's... I think I'm doing violence to myself by watching women's bowling. Hey, by the way, not that I want to get into a rap about bowling. How come there's a men's and a women's division in bowling? Of all the sports, there's no need to separate them. There's no need to separate bowlers. Yeah, golfers I get. Any other sport I get, because women are not the equal of men in terms of their physical strength and size, etc. But why is there only men playing bowling here and women there, and billiards? The same thing with pool. There's the men's league and a women's league. That's ridiculous. The women ought to get in there with the guys, okay? All right, great, great. We solved that. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Any other Tyson fans want to give me a call? Any Mike Tyson fans want to commiserate? I'm dead serious when I tell you I believe a man gets a second chance. I've always believed you give a man a second chance. And I was a little bit exonerated there because I'm sure you all recognize Tyson at the end of that fight. Very gracious, very thankful to Lennox Lewis for the opportunity. Asked if he could get a rematch. Lewis said, well, we'll think about it. And that means the answer is no. But, you know, can't blame a guy for trying. Now, there's no way Tyson gets a rematch with this guy. He'll get his ass kicked again. But I wanted to see Mike win for the old red, white, and blue. Does that make me a bad guy? I know he was in jail. He's out of jail now. I know he bit a guy's ear. Last I checked, that's not murder. I know he bit a guy's leg. All right. My wife bites my leg. What the hell's wrong with that? Could have been worse. Could have been some other part of him. What if he just bit his crotch? Now that... But I was very, 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 I felt bad for Tyson. I'm sorry that he lost. I wanted to see the old red, white, and blue bag it. I suppose it's good for him because if he'd won, then maybe he'd say some other outrageous, ridiculous, stupid thing. Or maybe not, I don't know. But this guy, Lennox Lewis, he's just another guy that I don't know. He's just another European. He's just one more faceless guy. Good fighter. But that's not why I watch fighting. I watched to see my guy kick the crap out of the other guy. It didn't happen Saturday night. And I'm sorry for that. I'm very, very sorry for that. I'm Phil Hendry, and that's this evening's commentary. And now this from Ardmore Meats. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. I thought that was just a nice little stinger there. 1-800-4... I didn't know what else to do other than to play the Rawhide theme right after those comments. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
You know, there was a time when they argued that boxing ought to be outlawed. There really was a time. They've stopped doing that for some reason. I don't know why. There was a period when it was quite a controversy, and they felt that boxing should be made illegal. That it was the only sport of its kind whose sole objective is the injury of another human being, of a human being. The objective of boxing is for one human being to injure physically another. Now, there's no other sport like it. And don't give me this stuff about how auto racing you get hurt and football you get. The object of auto racing is to make the car go fast and then go over the finish line before the other guy. The object of football is to pass the ball down the field and run the ball down the field and go to the end zone. The object of hockey is to get the puck in the net. The object of boxing, the only sport of its kind where the object is to physically injure the other person. Now, it's different at the amateur level, and it's possibly different competitively when it comes to other martial arts. But professional boxing, the goal is to injure that man. And the more you injure him, the better. The higher the bigger the excitement level. And so they argued for the making the outlawing of boxing, making it an illegal sport. And I was just talking to Janice about a really great movie that you all should go and rent. You should go find. It's a tremendous film. It stars Humphrey Bogart and Rod Steiger, and it's a movie called The Harder They Fall. And I got to tell you, I don't care who you are, what generation you are, and I'm not one to promote movies much before 1960. I'm not one to promote movies that are in black and white necessarily, but this is a great film and tells an interesting story. It's based on a true story, as a matter of fact, the story that is told in this film, The Harder They Fall. And two better actors, Rod Steiger, this guy was... It's too bad you guys, there's a whole generation of people that don't know Rod Steiger and his work, because there was nobody better. At the top of his form, at the top of his game, nobody better. Anyway, The Harder They Fall tells the story of a sports writer and a very crooked promoter and how their paths finally cross, and the exploitation of this fighter is to such a degree that he loses everything, and somebody has to put their life on the line to save the guy. It's a great story. And the film ends with, well, if you're going to go rent it, I won't tell you how it ends, but it ends with him writing a column. Never mind. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Trey, hello.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
I watched the fight with my dad last night, or whenever the fight was.
And Saturday night.
I'm doing good. How about you?
I said Saturday night, and you go, I'm doing good. How about you?
Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But anyways, I was watching.
If I'd said, how are you, you would have said, right, Saturday night.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
That's me. But I was watching the fight with my dad, and I was really amazed at Tyson's sportsmanship, how he's wiping the blood off Lewis's face and saying how much he cared about him, how much he respected him, and how much he hoped he would get another chance for him to fight him again. I thought it was just Mike Tyson turned over a new leaf.
Well, I don't know if he's turned over a new leaf or if he's always been that kind of a guy.
Yeah.
You know, I know that he's been guilty of some egregious things, and probably people, especially women listening to us talk this way, think we've flipped our lids, given the fact that he spent time in the joint for rape. But like I say, sports is something that we embrace because it symbolizes everything that we would like to think about ourselves and that we would like to achieve. And one of those things that perhaps we want to achieve in our lives is to give a guy a second shot. Now, in our real lives, with the real people that we know, we probably don't. We probably keep everybody at arm's length. We probably never forgive, and perhaps we never forget. But at least we can fantasize or live a little bit that way when we have a character like Mike Tyson, much removed from our lives, and yet at the same time, very much a part of it as a sports hero. We can say, hey, you know something? I'm going to give that guy another shot. I'll give that guy another chance. What's it going to hurt me? And then we get to know what that feels like. I don't know. Didn't the man on the cross say, turn to him the other cheek and all that stuff? Not that I'm a big man on the cross guy, but I know a lot of the folks listening are. So, the man on the cross says, do it. Oh, okay, I figure it's good enough for him. It's good enough for me. Right? No? Wrong? Taylor's shaking his head. Don't do that Jesus crap in here, he says. Okay, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Marcus, hello.
Hey, yeah, I'm a big Tyson fan.
Good.
The closest thing to me that I have to gambling is about 2 hours away in a place called Wendover, Nevada.
Uh-huh.
I went down there really hoping to see Tyson win, put $500 on him, but the old boy didn't come through for me.
Wasn't much of a fight he fought.
No, the first round. You have to give it to him. The first round looked good.
Well,
he looked promising.
Suddenly he didn't want to take the punishment that he had to take to get inside that long reach.
I know.
You know, if you're a little guy like him, and of course we all remember the example of Joe Frazier, Frazier was willing to take all that punishment to get inside of Ali's reach and was able to exact some damage, but Mike didn't want to take the blows necessary to get inside that reach and connect.
Well, better luck next time. I hope they give him a second try, because I'll go right back there and put 500 more on him.
So you've got 500 more to lose then? No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, all right,
okay.
I believe in him.
I know. Okay, thanks. Bye. But they're not going to give Mike a rematch. Notice he's now Mike to me. Nah, they won't give Mike a rematch. I don't know. No, they won't. I'm afraid the guys, well, they make an $8 million payday. Retire, Mike, please. Unless you want to get into some kind of shape, because you sure weren't in any shape Saturday night. You were not in shape Saturday night. If you want to get into some kind of shape, and you want to go and fight Holyfield or somebody, you know, there's a shot. 1-800-449-8686. So we're just getting our masculine jollies off here, talking about the big fight on Saturday night. By the way, the biggest story on Saturday, of course, was the Triple Crown race lost by War Emblem. But nobody wants to talk about that because they have this perception that somehow it's a lesser story than the prize fight. But I can tell you, not that I'm always telling Janice, just because it's a headline doesn't mean people are talking about it. But just forget all of that, will you, Janice, for a moment? Because the headline in the sports section of the LA Times was the horse race, and way down at the lower right-hand corner was the Tyson Lewis fight. But the War Emblem coming out of the gate and stumbling, did you watch the Belmont at all? War Emblem stumbled out of the gate, and that was it. According to the trainers, if a horse gets off to a bad start, it's like all the adrenaline goes out of the horse, and he broke bad. He got around fourth or third as they hit the first turn. By the mile mark, he was in front, and then he just faded. That's too bad. And the winner was a 70-1 shot named Saravo. You know what that thing paid for a $2 bet? $142. Imagine if you had a 10 spot on that. Can you imagine that? Yeah, sure, Henry. You'd do that, wouldn't you? Yeah, nigga, but the 70-1 shot. That's me. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
Now, Phil Hendry.
Aging rocker Mick Jagger, renowned for his bad boy image and a long list of female conquests, has been knighted. However, after the ceremony, he was run through with a sword in a duel and is dead. Good evening, everyone. I'm Phil Hendry. Topping this evening's story, Mick Jagger run through with a sword and killed in London this evening after being knighted. Apparently, Anthony Hopkins said, "Oh, you're a knight too? Look at my sword." And, well, you know how that happens. So how about that? Jagger became a knight. Someone pulled a sword on him, took his wallet, and run him through. God, if only that had happened. Please let it happen. You know what, Britain? Just stop giving out knighthoods to actors and musicians, will you? Give them back to guys that are solid. Some of those old colonels that live out there in the jungle. Who are those old cats you guys got? You know, the old generals that are in the kind of the double-breasted blazer and the handlebar mustache talking about all the packies. Not in my day. I never let a packie carry my bags. You know, all those guys are talking about bloody Kaffir, throw him off the train. Get the darkies to carry it. You talk about America, there's no more racist a place than Britain. Oh, my God. Get into a cab in Britain. Get into a cab in either Las Vegas or London, and you'll hear the cabbies just going on and on about the darkies. Only in America, they call them something else. Good God. But you get those old British generals, whatever they are. I don't know, they colonels or generals or field marshals, whatever they call them over there. And they live in their old, you know, their country estates. They got lords and dukes. When Maria was over there, by the way, she had lunch every day with a lord and a lady. And a lady and a lord. And a lord and a lady and then two ladies, a couple of lords, then three lords, then two ladies and a lord, three lords on top of a lady and a lady underneath a lord. But she was just, who's he? He's Lord Ed and that's Lord something. They got any money? Hell no. They're all broke. I'm Lord Jevington, sits there in his club all day long, sucking that Hennessy, just a little bit of that, you know, cordon bleu. Another blast. Get the darkie to give me another blast. And these guys are just like from, you know, they're from hunger, man. They sit there and they go on and on about bloody Kaffirs and my day, I'd let's say not go on the public dole, would I? Those are the guys that ought to be knighted, not some aging, old, wrinkled-up, quasi-hermaphrodite like Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger tragically lost a joust today and was knocked from his horse and killed. In other news, all right, 1-800-449-8686. None of my business. They can do whatever they want over there. The Queen's Jubilee. Way to go, Queen. The Queen Mum is dead. And my wife was over there, saw the whole thing. She was completely enthralled with it. They really dig their queen over there. They got it. Maybe we need a queen. Not a king, a queen. We didn't want royalty. This country was not formed or founded upon that that principle. We thought we'd had enough of kings. We said a president, that's all there is to it. They wanted George Washington to be king. They literally wanted Washington to be a king. And he said, no, I'm going to be a president. He said, I do not want to be a king. I'm going to be a president. And I'm going to serve for 8 years or 12 or however long I feel like it. And then when I'm done, I'll leave, but only then. He says, I want to be a president because that can be like a dictator or something. Anyway, he was the man that set us on the journey that we are on now. But we yearn for that, man. We want the president to be a king. We want Bush to be a king. We really, honest to God, do. You don't think that you do, but you really do. You want the guy to make the decisions. We don't want to have to be bothered, do we? Be honest. You don't want to be bothered. You want somebody up there to make the right decision. That's what's wrong with a bloody country, and maybe that's what's right with a country. We don't want to have to go down there and vote and get all involved. And did you get your voter booklet? I don't know. I can't make head. And what is Proposition 3 and 6? And those are the best of us. Those are the very best people that we have. Look at those. They're people like my wife. And you probably know somebody like that. Did you get your voter's book? Yeah, I got my voter book. I'm trying to study that. My wife stays up till 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning going over her little voter booklet, looking at all the propositions. She votes in the city elections. She met the mayor of our town. I wouldn't know the mayor of our town if I fell over the guy in the dark. I want a king, and I'm ashamed of myself for that. Just some ruling council that will make all the right decisions, and then if they make the wrong decisions, then I want the freedom to bellyache about it. See, I want everything. I want everything, and that's why I'm worthless as a citizen. Worthless. I want to have everything, I want to have it my way, and I don't want to have to do anything for it. And I always pull out the tax card whenever anybody asks, what do I do for my country? I'm just like everybody else. I pull out that tax card, I pay taxes. Oh, well, then, you can be dumb and open your mouth and say anything. All right, you pay taxes. That's right, I pay taxes. Any dumbass can say, me pay taxes. All right, okay, fine, you can vote. I want to be Lord Henry. I want to be the beneficiary of some oligarchy's beneficence. I want to have them hand down a little land grant. I want them up there making all the right decisions. And when they blow it, then I want to bitch about it. And then I want to be able to, like, throw them out of there and get together with all the dukes and the lords and say, okay, now what do you want to do? You want to get this Bush guy out of here and do something else? Well, what do the peasants think? Oh, screw them, the peasants. What are you, nuts? They don't know how to vote anyway. They don't want to vote anyway, okay? They're down there. The only thing they want to vote for is who's president of the car club this week. That's what I am, and I don't like being that. I'm going to try and be something else. I'd like to try for Porky Pig. Okay, anyway, here's Don on the Phil Henry Show. Don?
Yo.
By the way, that's a quote from a famous movie. Anybody knows what movie that's from, I'll give you a free CD. Go ahead, Don.
Well, I just think it's commendable that you recognize your worthlessness there.
Thank you.
I had a comment on the boxing. I think it's a good idea to abolish it.
Really?
I mean,
why?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, just what they said. Where else in the world do you see grown men go and try and pummel each other into oblivion?
All over the world.
Well, but where do they make it such a, put it on such a pedestal and make it such a
pretty much
cool
everywhere
thing
in the, well, pretty much everywhere in the world they have professional boxing.
Well, I know, but, you know, this is one of those things that, if people want to complain about it, they ought to be able to be teaching their kids that it's not the thing to do and keep it off the TV and all of that. I've seen one boxing match in my entire life, and I'm not opposed to force or anything. I believe it has its place and it should be used, but I was so appalled. I thought, man, that's crazy.
You were appalled watching what? The fight?
Watching a boxing match. I don't even remember when it was. It was probably 10 years ago.
Well, they used to argue that a lot. They don't argue it anymore. They don't talk about it anymore. They figure, well, you know. By the way, I have to ask you this, Don. Are you gay?
No, no, no.
Okay.
I have four kids.
All right, pal. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
Bye. What a wise ass you are, Taylor. 1-800-449-8686. Dave, hi.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Good.
Phil, I love your show. You've got your pulse right there on America.
I got my pulse on America. I got my finger on the pulse of America.
Really?
Oh, no, America has their finger on my pulse.
Hey, as sophisticated as a country that we are, always looking through the satellite eyes at North Korea and Iran, weren't you amazed that when 9/11 happened, those planes took a 90-degree turn that we didn't have a military jet somewhere nearby go up there and shoot it out of the sky. I mean, the closest military jet was 77 miles south of Washington, D.C., and it got to the World Trade Center 2 minutes after the planes hit.
Well, they did scramble a jet to shoot down Flight 93. That
from
one,
how,
there were
from
jets
how far
in the
away?
They would have gotten to it had it not been, you know, preempted by those brave people on
right.
board. But you know, your point is, how come it took them till the fourth plane to
right.
figure this out? And it's a real good question. It's a question that is done with the 2020 of hindsight.
Right.
And again, you have to understand, nobody up to that point ever conceived of airplanes being used as missiles. They thought that these planes had been hijacked and were going to be going back to the airport or to another airport so that certain hostage demands would be made. That was our experience. That was the experience of the human race up to the point that those planes were taken. We never had any experience ever in the history of man on this planet of somebody taking a jet and flying it into a building. We just never conceived of it. Should we have? Were we dumbasses? Are we dumber than hell? Aren't we geniuses now? Aren't we just the brightest thing that ever came down the pike? Aren't we a whole bunch of Einsteins? You bet. I mean, how could we have been so stupid? Now we know, well, God, I wouldn't have done that. I tell you what, if I'd been on any one of those other planes, I would have kicked their asses, man. Yeah, right. Fact of the matter is, we had no concept that anybody was going to take a big jet loaded with fuel and fly it into a building. Our experience up to that point had been the following. They hijack plane, they take plane to airport, they make a bunch of stupid, unreasonable demands, then the police figure out how they can storm the plane and get the people off of there, they flatten the tires, and they can't take off, and it becomes a standoff, and then somebody gets killed, but most of the passengers get released, and the terrorists, you know, and that's how it went. And that's what we thought we were dealing with. But obviously old Bin had something else in store. Now we know. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Now it's time for today's uplifting email. We try to get at least one email from our stacks of emails each day that feels uplifting, is positive, and is, I guess, something that's going to make us all feel just a little bit better. And now with today's uplifting email, here's Bud Dickman.
Hey, Lord Phil. This uplifting email of the day.
Now, Bud, who's this coming from?
It comes from Steve.
Okay, this comes to us from Steve, so let's hear today's uplifting email.
It says, Dear Phil, what's the name of that song that Margaret sang before she started doing Downtown? Phil said it was something by Anne Marie. Please let me know. I find it relaxing to masturbate to. So that's signed Steve.
Give me that.
What? Give me that thing.
Turn it off. What's the name of that song that Margaret sang before? I find it relaxing to masturbate.
Now what's the matter?
Oh, that's not uplifting. That's some guy's twisted idea of a joke.
Well, no, he said it's a relaxing...
I know what he said. It's called Snowbird, Steve. Here, have fun.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3. And beneath this snowy mountain, cold and clean.
Oh yeah.
Need to get out of there.
For its coat to turn to green. The snowbird sings the song he always sings, and speaks to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring.
Oh yeah.
When I was young, my heart was young then too.
Oh.
Anything it would tell me, that's the thing that I would do. Spread for any man that came along.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
What
are you doing?
Nothing.
You're a sick creep. A sick freak. This has been... Get out of here with that, you sick...
Oh, yeah.
This has been today's uplifting email. Everything I try to do around here, man, you screw it up, don't you?
I got the list of the terrorists that you wanted.
Okay, good. Now, these are the terrorist organizations. Thank you, bud. These are the terrorist organizations that have links to Al-Qaeda. And if you can put all of these together, then you have a paper trail and a money trail that the FBI and the CIA can begin to track. Because like I said on the show the other day, bud.
Right.
This isn't just Al-Qaeda that we're fighting. We're fighting all of these groups together, these Islamists, these Islamic fundamentalists.
Right. Well, I got the list.
All right, go ahead and read off to me. Now, these are, folks, when you listen to this, these are the different terrorist organizations that are combined, that we're going to combine on our program. Go ahead.
There's Airedale terrorists and American hairless terrorists. There's Australian terrorists and the... Why do you keep stealing?
Give me that! What do you mean, an American hairless terrorist?
That's the thing.
This is Terrier, you idiot!
Holy Jesus.
Yeah! Do you know how to spell terrorist?
T-E-T-E-R-R-I-E-R?
No, that spells Terrier. What you have here, Dickman, is a list of terriers, not terrorists.
There ain't no Jack Russell terrorist?
No, there ain't no Jack Russell terrorist. An American hairless terrorist. What's that music for?
Isn't that the uplifting email?
That ain't uplifting email. It's just stupid, idiotic sense of humor. You went to all this work for nothing, you know that?
I thought you... My bad. So there's no such thing as a rat terrorist.
That's a rat terrier. Yeah, there's a rat terrorist. That's a rat terrier. And no, there isn't. Look at this. You did this whole thing. Dear Phil, do you suppose it was the Yorkshire terrorists that attacked New York on account of part of their name is like New York? What does that mean?
When I was putting a bit together, I wanted to see if I could hook them up to Al-Qaeda.
That's a Yorkshire Terrier, man. Not a... Jesus, you know, bud, you're a good guy. I hate to see you do all this work for nothing. Look at this. I've traced one of the groups to Florida. A Lakeland terrorist.
That's a Lakeland Terrier now.
Well, now you know. And one of them is located in England, a Manchester Terrierist. God almighty, bud. I mean, for... Bull terrorist?
Yeah.
It's a bull terrier.
I know now. I
all that work, all that time, you thought these were terrorists. A black Russian terrorist. A Newfoundland terrorist. A Scottish terrorist. What'd you think a silky terrorist was?
I thought they were Chinese.
Oh, yeah. A silky terrorist, Chinese. And then the ultimate here, you said these guys were expert at disseminating misinformation, a Staffordshire bull terrorist.
Right.
Why'd you think they were giving out misinformation?
Because of the bull part.
Take this stuff back, learn how to spell the word terrorist, get out of here with this.
This has been Bullcrap with Bud. Yeah.
I had him put all this together for me, and he comes up with Staffordshire Bull Terrorist. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, reminding you that if you go into our website, philhendryshow.com, there are a couple of things that we'd like to point out to you. First off is a new feature called Celebrities Who Look Like They're Crapping Themselves. Now, take a look at the picture that we have on our webpage, philhendryshow.com. And if you find a picture of a celebrity who looks like he or she is crapping themselves, send it to phs@philhendryshow.com. And if we use it, well, good for you. All right, so find a picture of a celebrity who looks like they might have crapped themselves and send it to phs@philhendryshow.com, and we might use your picture. I believe the picture that we have up on the site right now as an example is one of David Schwimmer, who definitely looks like he might have lost his mud. And do we have that up yet? Let me just see here. Yes, we do. There it is right there. So, again, send in your picture to phs@philhendryshow.com, and if we use it, we use it. Is this in this? You know what? He linked it wrong. Hey, Doug, if you're listening, you linked it wrong because I clicked on the banner that says celebrities look like they crap themselves, and you got me at the interview archive. You dorcas. Yeah, he does. Oh, hit the refresh button and do it again. All right. Then I screwed up. My bad, as Bud likes to say. One other thing, too, our top 100 calls of the year will be on July the 4th, so it'll be kind of a fun 4th of July weekend. Listen to all or part of it. Top 100 calls of the year on our special 4th of July broadcast coming up here on The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, good news, everybody. As you probably recall, I spent a good portion of the year, about 2 years ago, talking about building a swimming pool in my backyard. And as you also know, I spent a good portion of the program about 2-3 months ago talking about cliff swallows that had landed on the side of my house building nests. Well, guess what? Because they've been there for 3 months, they've turned my swimming pool into a toilet. 1-800-449-8686. Andre, hi, you're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Hi, Andre.
Yeah, I watched a program on television just before the 911 incident.
Yeah?
Colin Powell was on it, and the guy from Most Wanted in America, John Walsh.
Yeah.
And the narrator said to Colin Powell, why can't we get this Bin Laden character? And he says, every time we go after him, either the Senate or the Congress or the American public stop us. Then he turned to Walsh and he said, what do you think we should do? You've caught a lot of criminals in your time. He says, the only way America is going to fall in behind the military is if a terroristic act happens on American soil. It's so horrific, it numbs their senses. 2 months later, 911 happened. Was it all rigged?
Yes. Yes, it was rigged. John Walsh rigged it. The bastard. 1-800-449-8686. No, maybe they were just prescient. Maybe they just recognized that there was a need, and maybe it so happened that need was brought to fruition by an act. Or maybe John Walsh rigged it in association with Fox Television. Brought to you by Mr. Clean. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. So John Gotti's croaked. And I say croaked with all due respect. John Gotti, a convicted mobster who was in prison for a good number of the last 10 years, he was in prison for 10 years. A lot of you may not know who John Gotti was. Maybe you didn't come of age until he was in prison, but he was the man in the 80s and in the early 90s. He was the head of the Gambino crime family in New York. He was the head, in other words, of a mafia family. And as such, being the head of the Gambino family, he basically ran the mafia. And he was a very ruthless guy. A lot of these wiretaps that they caught John Gotti on is just unbelievable. I mean, he's talking about taking baseball bats and cracking guys' skulls open. And he's going to kill this guy. He's going to kill that guy. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. Pretty ruthless character. It is also alleged that he masterminded the assassination of the previous head of the Gambino crime family. I guess you'd have to if you're going to take over, Paul Castellano. And eventually his, what do you call a guy who's second in command? The underboss? His underling? His underwear? His who? His lieutenant underwear. The underboss, his underthings, turned on him.
And Sammy the Bull, Gravano, I believe was his name, he went state's evidence and testified against John Gotti. He broke the vow of Omerta. Omerta, Janice, my Italian producer, what's that mean? Janice is going, watermelon? I'm sorry, I'm not familiar. Okay, thank you. It means watermelon. And the Italian code of watermelon, of course, means don't talk. So Gravano broke that, and Gotti was sent up the river or down the river, more down, like down the river because he went to Atlanta. So he was sent down the river, and then I think he was transferred to Leavenworth, and he contracted cancer during his stay in prison, and it was a particularly horrific form of cancer. It was oral cancer, and I think he got some in his lymph nodes. So anyway, he's dead. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this guy up is interesting to me. The guy's death is rather sad, lonesome, and inauspicious. During his time in the limelight, especially during his murder and racketeering trial in the early 90s, John Gotti was the toast of the news. He was on every newscast. He was literally at night, you would see him in his, they called him the Dapper Don because he had these gorgeous suits, $1,800, $2,000 suits, just dressed beautifully. They also called him the Teflon Don because nothing would stick. No wrap could possibly stick. And along with that, during his trial, they would interview, of all people, movie stars and celebrities who came to the trial. And they would ask these people, what are you doing at the trial? Oh, I'm just paying my respects to Mr. Gotti. And I'm thinking, who are these people? I can't even remember. I think one of them was like Anthony Quinn or something. And, you know, heavyweights. Sylvester, well, I don't want to say any names if I don't know for sure, but I can bet you money right now that there were all these movie stars going in to pay their respects to Mr. Gotti. It was like heavy, you know, like you were cool if you knew this cat. Like somehow knowing a guy, yeah, you're right, thank you. I finally got one of the names, real big hitters in show business. Nipsey Russell was on his way in, and he, you know, Larry Blyden also had a few comments for the press. Some real, you know, knocking it out of the park, guys. And now, old John's dead. How many of these people are going to send flowers to the funeral? None of them. That's why the Phil Hendry Show is going to send a large bouquet of flowers. Not. What happened to Sammy the Bull, by the way? He's full of crap. Get it? Bull? Crap? All right, 1-800-449-8686. God, I just hate Mondays. Derek, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
How you doing, Derek? Very good.
I'm doing pretty good.
Right.
I'm from Utah, and I don't know if you've read a lot about this kidnapping that happened to that 14-year-old.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking about it. I was on my way home from work, and I didn't hear any of your show except for when I got off at 7:30. And if they caught a guy like this, and you know somebody like this, if he's kidnapping a 14-year-old, he's a pretty sick person. If they caught somebody like him, what kind of punishment do you think he would deserve? What would you ask for?
What would I ask for? I would
right.
ask
what,
for whatever
what
the law prescribes.
Like
I would ask for what the law prescribes. Kidnapping, I believe, is a life sentence, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
Well, I'd have to find out if it was just kidnapping. Was there aggravating? Was there other circumstances? Did he commit other crimes? Did he commit other felonies? Did he assault the individual? What went on? Did he kill them? You mean just the mere act of kidnapping? I believe the law calls for 20 years minimum.
Okay. Now,
I'm not one of these guys. I think I know where you're going. I'm not one of these guys who believes in letting the family choose. If that's what you're asking.
No, what I'm going with is I think the SOB. He shouldn't be left to rot in jail. I think he should be taken off the face of the earth to...
Well, do you think that's justice? He kidnapped and we kill him. Is that true justice?
Well, I guess what my problem is it's hitting so close to home and
I understand.
I'm feeling pretty confident that this guy's, you know, done a lot more to this girl if she's not already dead.
I just don't even want to say, you know, what's happened. I mean, it's very possible she's still alive. Very possible, depending upon the motive of the individual. So, if that's the case, and if his only crime is kidnapping, then I'd have to say that justice says, you know, life in prison. If the guy has done more than that, let's hope he hasn't, then I totally am down with the death penalty. Got no problem with the death penalty. And I don't
personally, I don't see how the death penalty counters any particular liberal social consciousness I may have about other issues, which I am very liberal in many other ways. But I got no problem with the death penalty. It's absolute justice. And it's also about, it isn't even about saving money. I wouldn't be so crass. Oh, if we kill them, that means we don't have to spend as much money. What are you talking about? Are we talking about justice and safety? Some people you're not going to rehabilitate. They don't deserve to live. Having them out of here makes it safer for all of us. And so the death penalty is entirely appropriate for some individuals. Entirely appropriate. Do I believe we ought to waste time on appeals? Yes, I do. Because I don't believe you put a man to death just like that. I don't believe you just go, okay, well, good, all the evidence is in, boom, stretch his neck. I think that he's entitled to an appeal. I think it's any time there's a death case, you have to review the evidence. We got people that have been locked up, and we're releasing them now more and more every day who were in because the evidence given was faulty, and we're finding through DNA that they didn't belong in prison. You want to put one of those guys to death? You want to have that on your conscience? So, no thank you. But I do believe in death, and I do believe in the appeal process, and so let's never have that discussion again on this show. Okay? Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You know that guy that does those Dell commercials, that Dell computer commercials, that blonde kid, that dude? Craig and I were just discussing how it would really be nice if an errant arrow from an archery range would just find its way through that guy's thorax. That cat is, a little bit of him goes a long way.
Oh, Mr. Brown, I see you're getting a Dell computer.
Whoa, Dude,
you irritate me.
You know who was funny was that guy in that E-Trade commercial. You remember the commercial? I don't know if you guys remember. It was hysterical. There's an old guy, and there's a kid who's like Xeroxing his face or something, and he goes, Johnson, come in here. And so they go into his office. The guy goes, what do you want to buy today, Mr. Smith? And they're on the E-Trade, and then he gives him a flyer to his party. He's having a rave that night. Oh, my God. Funny stuff. Don't forget the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. This year's CD entitled Bring It. You can now purchase it right on your own, on our own website. Or you can call the following number, 877-616-7445, to order the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD for the year 2001. All of the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. It contains some of the best bits from the year 2001, including Pastor William Rennick's werewolf bit from New York, Don't Ever Say That Word, Mother's Day Lube, and much, much more. And for $20 plus $350 shipping and handling, you can enjoy some of the best stuff of the year 2001. Remember, all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Call again, 877-616-7445 if you don't have a computer. And our website is philhenryshow.com. Get that backstage pass for all of our classic audio. Here's Alan on the Phil Henry Show. Alan?
Hi there. You earlier was asking about Sammy Gravano, what happened to him.
Well, I found out he's back in jail, isn't he?
Yeah, he got through the protection program, whatever that is. He went to Phoenix, and
right,
for a lot of years, you know, everything was cool. And then he ran some ecstasy thing, so he ended up back right there where Gotti was. And then there's a really good book you can get called The Underboss,
mm-hmm,
and that's excellent.
Cool.
About what he did and whatever, you know. That's a really good
book.
Well,
what did you think of what he did?
Honestly, you know, it was like ruthless, but the thing is that you find out that they're in that life, you know, and it's like you're in that life from a very young age, and it's so accepting to them. You know, not maybe to us, it sounds ruthless, but to them it was an everyday thing, like a job.
Well, what do you think about him turning on Gotti the way he did?
Oh, that's pretty mean. But then in the end, I agree with what he said in the book about how it's kind of BS about how, oh, they wouldn't shoot an innocent person, but yeah, if that person was in the way, they'd kill somebody. So look at this, one of them was going to stab the other one in the back.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Okay.
You know how it is. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's
it's interesting because he took this vow of silence, and then not that that's applicable in any court of law. If you agree to testify, agree to testify. And he's the reason why Gotti is in jail or was in jail. And Gravano, you know what? People said that he got away with murder because he turned state's evidence. But look, the guy's back inside anyway because of the drug charge. So I guess these guys are more at home in there. 1-800-449-8686. Eric, hi.
Hey, Phil, how you doing tonight?
Good, good.
This was in reference to your gentleman who called from Utah. My question is it typical for the media or the police to prep the parents into begging and pleading for the return of the child? Because in my book, God forbid somebody steals one of my children from my house, I will not be pleasant on the media. Whoever took them will know exactly where I stand and what I'll do to them, because statistically, the children are either never found or they show up dead.
Well, look, the goal is to get the kid back safe. Would you feel good about threatening somebody who could kill your kid, or would you try to talk as nice as you could to them to make sure that they didn't do anything to the child?
Well, I believe my first plea would be one, and if there was no response, then my second plea would be an ultimatum.
Well,
and
an ultimatum meaning what? What are you going to do?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I would take every resource to take his life.
Well,
if my child wound up dead, there wouldn't be a prison strong enough.
Some of these guys are suicidal anyway. They're just whacked beyond the point of reason. How do you know you're even dealing with a reasonable guy? How do you know your threats even work with a guy like this? I mean, look at these people that kidnapped those two missionaries. You say, well, they went in and they were true to their word, man. They killed one of them and killed that nurse. I mean, I understand how you feel, man. I completely understand. I got four kids of my own. I would not want to say anything to set some nut off. I would be frightened that I would say the wrong thing and I would set this guy off. And I wouldn't, and I don't, I'm not saying this is why you're saying it, Eric, but I want to be sure that I wasn't getting my anger jollies out and strutting my macho at the expense of the life of my kid. Because I don't know what I'm dealing with here. Best thing to do with a wild animal, barring any other barring any other course, is you have to calm the freaking thing down. Boy, what a bummer we're talking about this, huh? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. Let's get back on John Gotti and Sammy the Bull, can we? Okay, never mind. Hey, how do you like the NBA? No? Okay. Hey, how about the Stanley Cup? No? All right. Hey, what about the fight? Forget it. Here is Eddie on the Phil Hendry Show. Eddie?
How you doing, Phil?
Good.
I was calling specifically to talk about John Gotti. You know, you were talking about the actors that went to the trials.
Yeah.
John Amos from Good Times, the father, he played the father in Good Times, was there, and he was a big supporter. And so was Mickey Rourke.
Right, I remember now.
Right, and you know, I'm from New York City, and I grew up while he was what they call him, the King of New York at the time, and it was just fascinating to see how people of all walks of life were attracted to this guy.
Right,
he was like a modern day Capone. You know, it was somebody coming out of a book. You know,
and he was like Capone. He handed out tips and he handed out largesse to people. Capone did the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, where are all of the movie star admirers that the man is,
exactly,
in a box and about to be, sent to the hereafter? I guess it isn't too glamorous anymore, is it?
No. You won't see any of them come out.
No.
It was just, it was something else. And then, of course, when he handed, I don't know if you remember, he handed a homeless guy, I think it was like $50 or $100,
right,
as he was coming out of the court. It was like all over the paper in New York. It was like the Don, with a big heart and this. And that. It was amazing. And I remember watching that at the time and telling my friends, we're watching something special, something very, historical here,
Well, like I say, he was a lot like Capone, because Capone and Gotti both understood public image. They understood press. They understood one's, if one could manipulate the media, one could make oneself look even larger than life. Gotti got that. Of course, a lot of people, it is said, within the organization, within the syndicate, La Cosa Nostra, didn't like all of that publicity.
1-800-449-8686. I happen to know all of these things, of course, because I have coffee with those guys once a week, and we bowl. So they told me a lot of this. It's the Phil Hendry Show.